Welcome to episode 360 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm your host and producer, Josh Pollard, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft Entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms. You'll notice no Richard tonight. Not really news. I think we mentioned that last week. Richard is doing a ton of traveling this week, including heading out to South by Southwest, which is where he is this week and why he couldn't be on the show. So we're just going to jump right into things this week. We actually don't have any listener feedback. So if you'd like to send us some for next week or a future episode, you can do that really easily. Just send us an email, entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. That can be a text email. You can take a recording with your phone or your computer's microphone and email that as an attachment to us. And as long as it's family friendly, we'll play that on the podcast also so that we don't even need to read it. So that's a fun way to get your feedback also. But since we don't have any listener feedback this week, we will jump right into the news. Last week, we started with some sad news, some bad news, and some surprising news that the makers of any DVD, Slysoft Software, had been shut down essentially by the government and were just gone, leaving customers with not much left to use for unencrypting DVDs and Blu-rays. And we, you know, last week reported on a bunch of things that you could do to continue using it in the meantime. But we had also said that, well, if nothing else comes along, you're not going to have any solutions for unencrypting. Well, unencrypting isn't the right phrase. Removing the copy protection from future Blu-rays. Well, someone has come along to rise up from the hole that was left by Slysoft's sudden disappearance, and that is a new company called Red Fox. Now, if you're familiar with Slysoft and their logo when that company existed, it was a Red Fox. And actually, this company, this new company, Red Fox, it's the old Slysoft guys. While they weren't allowed to continue with their previous company, which was based out of Antigua, which I didn't realize, they've set up a new company in Belize, and it's called Red Fox, and it's taken over control of all of Slysoft's software, including any DVD. You can't actually buy a new copy from them yet, but they have made available a 21-day trial that you could go and download right now for free and use, and they expect to have credit card processing and the ability to process orders within the next 3 weeks. So a 21-day trial ought to be enough time to get you going before you can actually buy a copy from them. They've also already released a new version of any DVD. Despite the fact that they don't really have a website, they've pretty much just put up a user forum site. They've put a new version up there. So if you've got a license to any DVD, you can download the newest version of any DVD from Red Fox right now. Now, as they are, of course, marketing this new version of any DVD under a new company name, Red Fox, there is one important thing that they've wanted to point out to people to help alleviate some fears that they might have. And that's that the new software, while the company name is different, they will still use the name Slysoft in all of the folder and registry paths when the software is installed on your computer. Why does that matter? Well, it matters if you're using third-party apps that need to integrate with any DVD to work with whatever that third-party software does. A lot of those are hard-coded to look at, you know, C drive / program file / Slysoft to get to any DVD. And if they changed that, then that would mean that all of those third-party manufacturers would have to change their software also. And some of those programs that people may be using might not even really be supported anymore. So that might not even be a possibility. So this is a nice little gesture that the guys behind Red Fox have done to ensure that their customers are going to continue to be able to use any DVD software with whatever third-party software they'd been using in the past. So, bad way to start last week's episode. Fantastic news for users of any DVD with this week's episode of the podcast. That's it on our video news for the week, though, so we're going to move right on to some audio news. Last week on the show, I had recommended a new podcast app on Windows 10 and Windows Mobile 10 called Grover Pro. And I had mentioned that the prior weekend to recording last week's show, I had had some issues where twice it had wiped out my library. And I was okay with it because I had been able to restore fairly easily. And it only happened a couple of times. And there was an update. And it didn't happen again after that update. Well, later that night, after recording the show, it happened again. And coincidentally, I had been given access to a new app called Cast. Well, it's not actually that new, but a beta version of an app called Cast, just C-A-S-T, which is also a universal Windows 10 app for podcasting. It has a lot of the same features as Grover Pro and any other, you know, popular podcasting app. So I decided, let's give this a try. You know, I tried earlier versions and had some issues, but I thought, well, Grover Pro just wiped out my library again. I can't think of a better time to try Cast. Well, before I get into all of that, I can say at this point, I'm still using Cast. So what does Cast provide? Well, you can, for one thing, you can organize your podcast. That's not something I see in many podcasting apps. And that's a feature that some may or may not care about. But if you subscribe to a lot of shows, then maybe the ability to put all of your shows into categories could be useful. You might find it annoying, in which case maybe you just make one category called all and dump them all into that one category. But if you're interested in using the categorization features, then it's a nice one to have, and it is handled pretty well. It's also got the ability to change playback speed, which is crucial on any modern podcasting app. Also, like Grover Pro, you can load and save OPML files, which is a subscription file of all of the podcasts that you're subscribed to. So if you've been using something else like Grover Pro, then you can export the OPML file from some other apps. Pocket Cast doesn't do that, unfortunately. And just load it right into Cast. And then at that point, all you need to do is throw them into categories and you're ready to go. It also has the ability to sync your subscriptions via the cloud, which is makes it so that if you're running the app on maybe multiple devices across Windows Phone and Windows 10 desktop, it'll sync all of those subscriptions across all of those devices. Now, this feature kind of in beta, and I haven't had a lot of success with it, but sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. For me, it's not that big of a deal because I do 99% of my podcast listening on my phone, and that's it. So hopefully that'll get solidified and work a little bit better in future updates. It also supports video playback, which, you know, some apps like Pocket Cast still don't support. So that's nice to have. And a sleep timer, which I haven't seen in very many podcast apps at all. And it's not a feature that I am really going to use, but I know some people might. The price, you can't really beat the price either. It's free. So there's absolutely no reason not to go and check this out. Now, if you like the app, the developers made it really easy to support him. Right from within the app, there are two in-app purchase options, which, you know, he makes very clear. You're not going to get extra features for donating to him. It's just send him a tip. You can send him a small tip or a big tip. And I think they're roughly $1 or $3 donations. It's a little bit, it's not an even dollar amount because I believe he's based in another country. So there's currency conversions and all that, but it's roughly $1 and $3 if you'd like to send him a tip for his work. The other really, really important thing with any app like this, especially when it's kind of new, is how frequent it gets updates. And this app is getting updated a lot. You know, I think I've had two or three app updates just in the last week with this. So yeah, it's getting a lot of updates. It's already pretty stable. I will say there are a couple of little oddities. So the first one is I always set my podcast up so that when I've finished playing an episode, it automatically gets deleted. I'm not going to go back and re-listen to shows, so there's no reason not to delete them. Sometimes it doesn't delete them. It's not that big of a deal to go in and remove them manually, but I hope that that gets fixed pretty soon. This is especially apparent with video podcasts. I haven't had a single video podcast automatically delete when it's done. Maybe that's just a coincidence. I'm not sure, but it's a little bit annoying. The other one is you might think at first when you go to use this app that it doesn't actually play, because if you go to a podcast and then hit the play button, you'll notice that the bottom scrub bar changes. You know, maybe you were halfway through a show and decided to listen to something else. The scrub bar position will go to the beginning, but it won't actually start playing. I don't understand this, but you have to select play on the episode, and then using the standard audio controls at the bottom of the screen, hit play down there. So you have to hit play in two different places to get an episode to start. I don't understand why. Hopefully that gets changed soon too, but it's just, it's an annoyance more than a major problem, but it's definitely something you're going to want to know about before you start using the app. So that's called Cast. You'll definitely want to check that out if you're looking for a full-featured podcasting app on any Windows 10 device. One more audio story for you guys tonight, and that is that TuneIn, an app that is pretty popular for listening to internet radio streams, although it does do more than that, has announced that they've gained access to the complete NBA game library for 2016-2017 season. So that's the next season that starts this coming fall. And that means you're going to be able to listen to every single NBA game using the TuneIn app on any devices. They've got apps on everything, including Windows 10, Windows Phone, Windows Mobile 10, whatever you want to call it. They've been around. They've been making Windows apps for years, and definitely a company that we want to support because of that. Now, if you want to listen to these NBA games, you will need to be a TuneIn Premium subscriber, and that's going to cost you some money. It's $8 a month. Now, frankly, I've used TuneIn for years, but I didn't even realize that they had a premium subscription option. But they've got some pretty nice features, enough features that have made me consider actually plunking down some money to try this out. Now, as you might expect, if you're giving them the $8 a month, it means commercial-free broadcast, which is great and is the main feature that you're going to get from most of these audio subscription services. But there's more to it than that. In addition to those NBA games, they've also got deals with the NFL, Major League Baseball, and English Premier League, which is, well, football if you're anywhere in the world other than the United States, or as we would just call it, soccer. They've also got a giant audiobook collection, so you can just listen to any of these thousands of audiobooks that they have in their collection for free and unlimited access to the whole library. So TuneIn, with their premium model, offers a lot of really interesting options for people and definitely seems like something worth checking out if you're interested in some of those features. And you can do it from any of your Windows devices. Moving on to our gaming news of the week. Last week, we had mentioned a whole bunch of changes coming to the Xbox One system software. I guess we can just call it Windows 10 on the Xbox One. It was supposed to be launching for Xbox Preview members. And an update did come last week, and most of the features that we discussed on last week's show rolled out along with it, except for one of the ones that had people the most excited. And that was the ability to view and purchase Xbox 360 games that were backwards compatible right from your Xbox One. Apparently, they found some bugs right at the last minute and didn't release it last week as they had hoped. Fortunately, they did today, and now it's available If you're in the Xbox preview program, make sure you've got the latest version, because now you can go to the store and see all of those Xbox 360 games that are available to play on your Xbox One. If it's not backwards compatible, it won't be in the store. But if it is backwards compatible, you can see it right there. That, of course, includes all of the games with gold that are free every month. And you no longer have to go to the website or go to your Xbox 360 to initiate the purchase of all of those. You can do it right from your Xbox One, starting now if you're on the preview program, or probably later this month if you're not in the preview program, whenever they release the next major update for the Xbox One. So that's great news. Unfortunately, not all the news concerning Microsoft and gaming was great this week. Specifically for the people who work at Lionhead Studios and Press Play Studios. Those are two European game development studios run by Microsoft Studios, their gaming department. And Microsoft announced this week that they're closing both of those studios. Now, you've probably heard of Lionhead Studios, but maybe you haven't heard of Press Play. They're the studio that made the game Max, The Curse of Brotherhood, which you've probably heard of if you've been a longtime Xbox One owner, because that was one of the free games with gold fairly early on. Lionhead Studio, of course, they're the company that made the Fable games. And that's right, they were currently working on a Fable game, Fable Legends. This was supposed to be a free-to-play cross-play game, meaning you could play it across Windows 10 and Xbox, which was a pretty cool feature that we'd like to see in more games. That game is canceled. The studio is getting shut down. Press Play's game that they were working on, it's called Project Nox. That's canceled, as that studio is being shut down also. Apparently, Fable Legends wasn't getting the greatest reviews. And when I say reviews, I don't mean, you know, go to IGN.com and read a review, because the game wasn't done, so there weren't reviews like that. But from people posting on Reddit and other places like that who were in the beta for Fable Legends, I never really saw anything super positive about that game. And so maybe that led to Lionhead getting closed. We don't have a lot of specifics from Microsoft on why these studios were closed. What they did say was, and I quote, "These changes are taking effect as Microsoft Studios continues to focus its investment and development on the games and franchises that fans find most exciting and want to play." That sounds reasonable. The thing that makes me a little nervous is it sounds like something we would expect from some of the other really big publishers in the space. Ubisoft, Activision, EA. The companies that we're used to seeing close smaller studios that, you know, maybe aren't selling millions and millions of copies like a Call of Duty might, but are taking chances on interesting titles. I hope that that's not the case. Obviously, Microsoft does really well with 343 Studios making all these Halo games. They do great with Turn 10, cranking out fantastic Forza games. But, you know, some of these smaller studios make really great things too. And I think Microsoft is trying to alleviate some of those fears, because in the announcement of the closure of these two studios, they actually mentioned Moon Studios, the tiny little company that gave us my favorite game of last year, Ori and the Blind Forest. Now, that's not directly one of their companies, but they did publish that game. So hopefully we'll continue to see great titles, and maybe this is just Microsoft clearing out a couple of titles that just weren't good. We don't know what's going on with the employees from Lionhead or Press Play. Hopefully they land on their feet somewhere soon. You never want to hear about people losing their jobs, but hopefully this will just lead to more opportunities for those guys. One more Xbox story to cover, and that is, of course, this week's deals with gold and the Spotlight sale. Honestly, not a great week in terms of games that are on sale. Two titles stand out to me on the Xbox One. One is Mad Max. This game came out last fall to coincide with the movie And it got pretty decent reviews. This game is available for half off. That means it's $30 right now. And the one that I find the most interesting is a game called Life is Strange. This is a title from Square Enix that frankly looks and plays a lot like a Telltale game, where, you know, it's not a run around and a lot of action sort of things. It's you're kind of going from place to place, and it's more of an interactive story. You're making key choices in the main character's life. And the main character in this game is a young woman. I think she's probably a freshman in college or maybe late in high school. They don't really say. And she discovers that she has the ability to rewind time. And her life is also just crazy. So I had actually just purchased this game over the weekend for PC. And I had played the first episode of it because I had purchased episode one months ago. Finally got around to checking it out over the weekend. Loved it. Purchased the rest of the five episodes on Steam and plan to play through the rest of it because I really, really enjoyed this game. Now, you can get it on your Xbox for $10 for all five episodes. That's half off. Actually, I think that's more than half off. So definitely, definitely a title you want to check out if you're into really interesting story-based games, especially anything similar to the games that Telltale has put out. On the Xbox 360 side, the biggest game that stood out to me is L.A. Noire. This is a game from Rockstar, the guys behind Grand Theft Auto, of course. This is not a Grand Theft Auto game. This is a detective game. This game got rave reviews when it was released on the 360 many, many years ago. And now you can buy it for $7.50. I don't think it's backwards compatible yet, but I'm sure it's really high on the list of titles that people want to be made backwards compatible. Let's move on to some mobile news. We came into 2016 wondering if Microsoft would actually start releasing versions of Windows 10 across desktop and mobile quickly, like they had been saying for months and months and months. They told us, we're going to start releasing these faster and faster and faster. And we kept saying, uh-huh, right, we totally believe you, not really, because you're not. They just weren't doing it. They have been. They've absolutely held up to their end of the bargain when it comes to releasing lots of builds for Windows 10 and Windows 10 Mobile. And now, it looks like they might almost be done with Windows 10 Mobile. Wouldn't that be great? You know, for the phones that they released last year with not complete software. Let me just throw that in for Richard since he's not here to say it himself. So it looks like if rumors are to be believed, then the Lumia 950 and 950 XL are going to get the final versions. And that's kind of a weird thing to say for an operating system like Windows 10, but maybe the first official release of Windows 10 Mobile this month, this month of March. And then the rumors are that Microsoft is going to make Windows 10 Mobile available for public download for pretty much anybody running a Windows Phone 8.1 phone as a manual download shortly thereafter that the released for the 950 and the 950 XL. That would be really cool. And then eventually they're saying that it would be basically a forced update. So are we at a state where that would make sense? I'm not sure, but it's looking better and better. We just got a couple of recent builds. I believe last week they released 10586.122. It's been pretty stable for me. And then just early this week, they released 10586.164. At first, it looked like 164 didn't really have much to it that was different from 122, which made people think all the more so that, you know, if there's not many differences between these two, maybe this is starting to look like a release candidate for the upgrade from 8.1. Microsoft eventually released more release notes about what was in 164 over 122, and it's more significant than what people initially thought, but it's not really any major new features. it's a lot of bug fixes, and maybe most importantly to me, some more Bluetooth improvements. And reports are, it's looking really stable. So maybe this is it. Maybe 10586.122 is going to be the first official release of Windows 10 Mobile, and we'll all be running this on our devices soon. On the app front, this isn't really entertainment focused, but it's an important one if you care about the Windows ecosystem, and that's Bank of America. Banking apps are really, really important. Those fall into that category of apps that people say they have to have these apps. They have to have an app for their bank to be able to use any given operating system. And especially in the United States, banking apps have not been doing well on the Windows Phone and Windows 10 platforms. Now, you might remember, especially if you are a Bank of America customer, over a year ago, they killed all of their Windows 8.1 apps. That's on desktop and on mobile. They wiped them out. Now, later last year, they did announce that they were making Windows 10 apps, but they gave us no time frame or really any information at all other than, yeah, they're looking at making a Windows 10 app. Well, one Bank of America customer was engaged with someone from support via Twitter, and the Bank of America representative replied back to them saying, the Windows 10 apps are coming in the next few weeks. So if you're a Bank of America customer, that's great news if you're running a Windows 10 phone. It's not so great if you're running Windows Phone 8.1, because Windows 10 app won't work on a Windows Phone 8.1 device. So that might just cause you to jump into the Insider program to get Windows 10 if you haven't done so already. Or maybe this will come out around the same time as the official release of 10, if that actually does happen this month. Well, that's it for our news this week. This is the part where we would normally get into what's going on in our entertainment centers. If you've been listening lately, this section's been really long when it comes to what Richard's doing, and pretty short for me. And well, Richard's not around, so this segment isn't going to be very long at all. On the TV side, I didn't really get into any movies over the past week, but I did start to try to catch up on some of the TV shows that I've been missing. I primarily focused on Expanse, trying to figure out if The Expanse was the show that I was going to stick with. And at this point, I'm 3 episodes in, and I still like it. I don't love it, but I do like it enough to keep watching it, especially from the political aspect of the storyline. I think it's interesting enough, and it's got enough intrigue for me to keep watching. So definitely going to stick with The Expanse. Also started to watch House of Cards season 4, but having more bandwidth cap issues, as I had some sick kids last week, which meant a lot of Netflix was being watched in my house, which meant that a huge part of my monthly bandwidth total was used up. So trying not to binge my way through House of Cards. And frankly, after season 3, I wasn't chomping at the bit to get to season 4. Season 3 was just so blah that I wasn't too excited to jump into season 4. So I did get to watch about the first half of episode 1, and so far it has a lot of promise. So and I've started to hear good things from other people who have made it further into the season than I have. And so I'm definitely going to stick with it at this point, but this is definitely going to be the slowest that I've ever gone through a season of House of Cards. On the gaming side, I kind of laid off the gaming a little bit as the week ended. I had a lot going on, plus was trying to get some other things done before The Division came out, which is out now, and I'm really, really excited to go out and play. And I know I'm going to be spending a lot of time playing The Division. Although, as I mentioned a little bit earlier in the show, I checked out Life is Strange. Seriously, another plug for Life is Strange. It's a really cool game. Definitely worth checking out. Other than that, not really much else going on for me on the TV or the video game front. Although I will, I think I teased last week that I would have a device review for you guys this week. I'm holding off, finishing up a couple more things with it. I'll be back next week with a full review of an interesting new product. So definitely look for that next week. I promise this time. All right. So if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do that in a lot of different ways. And I say us because even though he's not here this week, Richard Gunther is still a huge part of the show. Very much missed tonight. If you want to find him on Twitter, he's at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. And the website is at Digi Media Zone, D-I-G-I Media Zone. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/thedmz. We're on Google Plus. You can shoot us an email at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com or just use the contact form on the website. And of course, this isn't the only podcast at the Digital Media Zone. There's also Richard's other show, Home On, all about the latest home control and automation news. And I don't need him this week to tell you what the next episode is about because I was on it. It was me. I was the co-host and we discussed all of the latest news in the home automation space. There was a lot. There's big news from Amazon with the Echo stuff. Just lots of really interesting, shorter news stories to cover. Look for that soon from the DMZ. And you can find all of our podcasts in iTunes and Pocket Cast. You can find them on Stitcher Radio and TuneIn Radio, like we mentioned earlier. And maybe soon, or maybe for some of you already, on Google Play. But who knows with Google Play when it comes to podcasts. And if you'd like to show your appreciation for our show, the best way that you can do that is to head over to iTunes, leave us a rating and a review. It helps other people find our shows, and we would really appreciate it if you could do that to help us out. Then if you want to experience the most real-time way of communicating with us, come back and join us as we record the show live. That's normally Tuesday nights around 8:30 p.m. Eastern, but we tweet when the show is going to be, and you can come listen live. There's a chat room. You can talk with us and anybody else who shows up to listen to the show, and it's always a lot of fun. So that's going to do it for episode 360. I'm Josh Pollard, and I'll be back next week for episode 361. Until then, adios.